You know, guys, I want to start off every podcast now with a Led Zeppelin quote. It's my dream. So what I'm thinking about this week is when the levee breaks, mama, you got to move. And I know I sound just like Robert Plant when I say that. But what blows my mind is you're up to $6.1 trillion now sitting in money market funds. And the question is, if the Fed cuts rates later this year, is all that money going to come pouring out of those money market funds and then just push this market up way higher, hence breaking that levee?
I'm hoping so, Rye. And by the way, you don't sound like Robert Plant. And even if you had long blonde curls, I don't think you would sound like Robert Plant. But you could play the guitar like Jimmy Page. You do have that ability. So I think a little guitar riff every once in a while would be great. But hey, let's give some credit where credit's due.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah, true. But let's get some credit where credit's due. You know, some of these investors are coming out of bank accounts, coming out of savings, coming out of checking accounts where they're paying zero. I mean, think about it. You know, most banks on average are paying 0.4%. Meanwhile, they're earning over 5% in a T-bill. That means they're charging their customers a 5% fee to hold your cash.
You got to hedge the banks. They always know how to make money. Even when we had 0% interest rates, they still made money.
Yeah, but even after taxes, it's still money, Chris. It's money in your pocket, not in a bank's pocket. And I'll tell you, it's one of the reasons why the consumer's been so strong. You know, I think you saw a stat the other day on how much of this boom in the economy has impacted the division in wealth. If you have assets, if you have investments, you're doing well. And especially if you have money in the market and bonds and money market funds, it's $1.8 trillion, $1.9 trillion excess income being created this year.
Yeah, I mean, I had so many people surprised when they got their 1099s for their tax returns. They're like, oh my God, I actually pay taxes on my money sitting in cash right now, because those money market funds, those yields are real, and it does add to the amount of income people have on an annual basis to spend. You know, I think the other big question right now is the buzz about is the employment market, right? Unemployment went up to 4.1%. Now, to put that in perspective, historically, the long-term average is more like 5.4%. So we're still at very, very low unemployment. But, you know, there's this theory amongst economists that, like, the labor market any day now is going to fall off a cliff. We've been hearing that for like 2 years. I still don't buy it. You still have 1.2 jobs available for everyone looking. That's still a relatively tight labor market, no matter what those Wall Street strategists tell you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was talking to a client of mine the other day. She's a partner in a law firm. And still, they're still looking to get people. Like, they're still having a hard time trying to find people to come work at their law firm.
Yeah, I think that's 8 million job openings, Chris. I think everybody has that problem. Plus, there's a lot of people out there who don't want to work.
Chris, including me.
Yeah, including Ryan.
Add me to that list, please.
We live with that every day, Chris.
I've actually considered moonlighting as a lawyer. I hear they make pretty good money. And in fact, I'm actually charging you guys for this podcast.
Well, here's the whole thing. I mean, the Federal Reserve is kind of between a rock and a hard place, right? They have a dual mandate. They have to keep inflation down. They have to keep employment up. And, meanwhile, the economy's doing just fine with rates where they are. So I think the Chairman Powell's been a little bit reluctant, to cut rates, even though he does think he needs to. Who knows when it's going to happen? It's going to happen before the election or after? What do you guys think?
Well, I think he's going to do it before the election. Number one, because it is more of a politicized role than we like to say. There's probably a lot of lobbyists there. I said in the real estate industry, private equity, they're banging on the door of Washington to say, hey, Fed, cut us a break here. And let's face it, the inflation numbers are going to continue to come down because of that shelter cost. But I think the bigger risk here is next year, we could see inflation start to heat up again, because we know earnings growth looks pretty good this year into next year. That translates into a strong employment market, because if companies are making more money, what do? They hire more people. And Bob, the one thing you've been talking about a lot is you got to keep your eye on energy prices. Energy prices have been creeping up, and that's just a tax on the global economy, and that could keep inflation a lot higher. So I think the bigger risk here is the Fed cuts too early. And like we said, they let that levee open, and that just pours all this money back into the market and causes a huge bubble, which we might be in the middle of right now.
A very excellent point. It just points to the fact that it's a very difficult environment to invest. It always is, right? You had these economists, Chris, you were talking about, been calling for a hard landing, pointing to the inverted yield curve. All their analysis was correct, except for it didn't work out, right? So they were just 100% wrong. 100%, you know, consensus view was 100% wrong. Meanwhile, you know, we're worried about interest rates. And then, as you point out, Rye, the price of oil is going up, and that's a huge tax on the global economy. You don't know how that's going to impact the market. So it's, again, you know, timing the market, hindsight is so simple, right? It's 2020. But boy, when you have all this uncertainty, and by the way, you always have uncertainty, and that's why the markets always go up, because they climb that wall of uncertainty, that wall of worry. And everything you just talked about is just one more brick in that wall.
Yeah, one more brick in the wall, Bob. Pink Floyd. See that? A lot of 70s themed rock themes here in today's podcast.
I think this could be branded as a classic rock finance podcast.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it comes down to kind of being between this rock and a hard place, right? Because you're sitting in cash, you're getting your 5%. You're like, I'd like to put some money in the market, but it keeps going up every single day. So you're hoping you're going to get a pullback or a correction, as we like to call it. That's a nice euphemism that we use on Wall Street. It's not a sell-off, it's a correction. But I think the problem is, you know, this market may not correct, which is going to create even more FOMO, more pressure on those sitting in cash. So I think investors in general, Chris, and I know you've talked to a lot of your clients that feel this way, you know, they're just afraid to put that money to work because they think they're going to put it in. That's going to be the top. Then all of a sudden, markets are going to sell off the day they put the money in.
Well, the strategy is they think they're going to put the money in when they think that they see the market start to go up. You know, they see it slowly start to go up. But going back to the original quote that you made, Rye, the levee doesn't just drip, it breaks.
Well, meanwhile, you know, you listen to every strategist and they're like, oh yeah, we're in dire need of a 5 to 10% correction and I'm buying it, right? When everybody's going to buy the dip doesn't happen. So you can forget that noise. But here's the other thing. There's plenty of opportunity to invest, right? Not everything is overvalued. And hey, the big, you know, the big hot area of the market is AI. And Rye, you wrote a great quote in your market notes this week, you know, talking about The Graduate. I loved it.
And again, we're going 60s, 70s, but The Graduate, which I believe that was one of your favorite movies from the 60s, 1967 to be exact. I think you were in high school. And there's a quote where Dustin Hoffman takes him aside and says, I got one word for you, son, plastics. Because back in the day, right, these big chemical conglomerates were the hot stocks of the late 60s. Today, if there was the same party, the same graduation party, he would have said one word, AI, right? Because that's right now, that's the hot spot to be. Just like owning plastics back in the late 60s was, that was the hot place to put your money.
Well, more importantly, Rye, that I was forbidden from seeing that movie because a Catholic Standard and Times had banned it, and no good Catholic was allowed to see it. So, of course, immediately as a teenage rebel, you know, my buddies and I, we had to go see it immediately.
Boy, I'm so disappointed. All this time, Dad, I thought you were a good Catholic.
I am, Chris. I am.
The way to think about things right now is you want to be two steps ahead, right? A, you don't have all your money in cash because this market may not correct. You may not get that correction to put your money to work. Odds are you're probably not going to get it because there's too much money in cash. Number two, you don't want to put all your money into where the momentum is because all those artificial intelligence stocks, big tech, it's doing great. But at some point, the music's probably going to stop. So you don't want to get caught with all your money in the same place. But if you diversify right now, there's plenty of places to put your money where there's lots of yield, low valuations, and great long-term growth. So that diversification is the key. So that's where you want to be right now. Get invested diversified. Don't just sit in cash. Just don't own all the hot stocks of the day. Those are not going to be the winning strategies of the future.
You know, when you look at your own future, it's really about your financial planning future. And that's as a financial planner, I lick my chops right now. We're getting great yield in the bond market. Our real estate investment trust is yielding over 4.25%. And that dividend can be increased and has been increased over time. Plus, you have the opportunity for appreciation. You have dividend yields outside the United States that are 100% higher than the S&P. And you know what? Dividends don't lie. So, you know, you can manufacture earnings. Think of Enron. Think of all the other things in the past. Appreciation's great, but half your return always comes from income. It's time to focus on your income plan.
Hey, hope you're enjoying episode 167, Pain Points of Wealth. Everything you hear on this podcast, along with some due diligence of your own, can help you get ahead financially literally at any stage of your journey. But if you want a more hands-on approach, you want a second opinion of your entire financial plan, Bob, Chris, and I now have a collective 75 years helping individuals just like you with your planning and investing. This is what we do every single day. If you saved over $1 million for your financial independence plan, Bob, Chris, and I will run for your total financial master plan and we'll do that with no obligation or cost. It's a full holistic review. We'll look at everything. There's not a firm out there that will do this work up front. We go as far as building you that income plan for retirement, how to draw Social Security, how to take from your portfolio, how to optimize the income so you don't run out of money. We're going to look at diversification. Markets have been extremely volatile the last couple of years. Has your portfolio been all over the place, or have you been sitting in cash, paralysis by analysis, can't figure out what to do? We'll put together a full investment game plan. We'll tie it to your goals. We'll show you how to grow your wealth, but most importantly, protect it over the rest of your life. And we'll look at fees and taxes. Wall Street loves to sell you those high cost, tax inefficient products, whether they're annuities, mutual funds, structured products, brokerage products. We'll do a deep dive of every investment you own. We'll show you how to reduce the cost and optimize your portfolio for taxes. It's not what you make, it's what you take. You'll get our full tax playbook. If you saved over $1 million for your financial independence plan or retirement, simply go to www.paincm.com/financial plan to see if you qualify for a free financial review. All right, it's the tipping point. This is where we pinpoint the pain point. Of course, that's P-A-Y-N-E. Having the biggest impact on your wealth right now.
Yeah, guys, you know, it's pretty amazing. Here we are, July of 24, and this big booming bull market really got started in October of 2022. And you would think it's just been a straight line based on the lack of volatility recently. But what happened was from October of 2022, we had a big rally that peaked in July, right? That following July. And then we had this quick and painful 10% correction in everything. It wasn't just, you know, the stock market. It was commodities, bonds. Everything went straight down for 3 months. I'll tell you one thing I learned over my 50 years, almost 50 years next year, is that clients can handle anything. They can't handle a down statement for 3 months in a row.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's amazing. Just a year ago.
Not even a year ago, 9 months ago.
9 months, not even a whole year ago. That's right. Halloween was not 9 months ago. Is we are just trying to keep people invested. Because the markets had kind of gone sideways for a little while. And you're right. I mean, it's like whenever this market goes sideways for like 12 months, it feels like an eternity. And Chris, I remember we had a lot of clients asking us about all these different fancy structured products they could put their money in. They get some of the upside of the market, but they get none of the downside. And all these exotic products because there's nothing happening in their portfolios. And that was right before we had this massive rally in the stock market.
Well, he always says it gets the darkest before the dawn. And yeah, you know, it's when a client says, hey, we need to start getting more creative, you know, that's a good sign that the market's probably going up pretty soon.
Well, it's incredible because I came across this presentation on my desktop and it was October 31st, 2023. And the only reason we do these fireside chats is when, you know, the cry from our clients is so severe, right? The pain that they're suffering is so awful, horrible that they have to hear from, you know, in a conference call. And it was just amazing. It you know, how much sentiment can swing how you feel about your portfolio, your emotions, how much they drive what you do as an investor.
Well, I think collectively, right? Like the fact that all our clients, investors at the same time come to the same conclusions at the same time. So everyone was feeling the pain at the same time. Hence, we had to come down from the mountain, Bob, and do our webinar.
Well, you know what? You guys always come in like superheroes and do those fireside chats. But, you know, I really think there's a big misunderstanding about what exactly the market is versus what the market is perceived to be. And, you know, I'll tell you, over the 4th of July weekend, Louise and I went to this Revolutionary War fort in Philadelphia. And we walked in there and, you know, we read all the placards and the signage and, you know, I really couldn't get a good sense of exactly what the fort was. I had this, you know, this preconceived notion in my brain about what it was. And then the docent came out and explained with a little diorama and some neat little charts exactly what it was and really was able to simplify it for me. And then when I went back and read all the signage, it made total sense to me. And I think the market, the same thing applies to the market where people think, oh, you know, I've got to buy NVIDIA, you know, or I got to set 100% in cash. You know, the reality is it's somewhere in between.
That's a great point because all of a sudden everyone was so bearish, so nervous about the markets 9 months ago. Now we're getting a lot of pushback like, why don't we own more artificial intelligence? Why don't we own more NVIDIA? So they went from extremely scared about what was going to happen to like, I can't get enough risk. And that's really the tricky part about investing is just how emotions oscillate so quickly between fear and greed.
That's really true, guys. And as I go back through the presentation, look at the different charts and graphs that we presented to our clients, you know, nothing really changed, right? I mean, interest rates were going up, but we said, hey, they're not going to go up forever. We had, you know, earnings estimates were climbing. They had been climbing. Nothing changed there, just the perception that they wouldn't keep climbing. We went through what happens in the market over the course of a year, and inevitably you get pullbacks and corrections, but they're always temporary. So it's amazing how you look at the same data 9 months later, and people are crazy bullish, and you look at the same data 9 months earlier, and they were crazy bearish. I mean, we literally had to hold people's hands. We had almost, you know, lock them down to keep them from liquidating their whole portfolio out of fear.
Kind of reminds me of, it's like when you go to the arcade and you play pinball. I mean, that ball is like hitting the sides, like you're hitting the flappers, like you're doing anything you can to prevent it from going into that little pocket. But you know what happens inevitably? The ball goes in the pocket and you lose.
Hindsight's 20/20, and people tend to, you know, build their belief on what's happened as opposed to what could happen. You know, for example, you take NVIDIA. Yeah, it's a great stock, right? It's $3 trillion. I mean, it's amazing the valuation of that company. But let's face it, it's a semiconductor stock. It's a cyclical, right? And they haven't repealed, you know, the cyclicality of the business. I mean, it's built from silica, right? So as you said in your notes this week, Rye, this move is basically built on sand.
You know, as they say, castles made of sand fall into the sea eventually. Another 70s wow. rock quote, by the way. Actually, it's late 60s, Jimi Hendrix. But, you know, no, that's actually a great point. It's just you understand why investors typically underperform longer term. And I think, you know, the mentality is like we've got this hot market right now. So I got to get all that upside while it's here. And what we've learned in our, you know, collective 75 years, as we always say on the show, is it's not really about getting all the upside. It's not getting creamed on the downside. And, you know, that's the problem with semiconductor stocks and growth stocks in general, which actually underperform over time, is because the downturns are horrific. You know, Bob and I, you and I were talking about a portfolio recently where they had a huge NVIDIA position, and we wanted to backtest the volatility in that stock. Well, that stock's been around since the first dot-com bubble, and it went down 80% during the dot-com bubble. You know, it was only down 50% 2 years ago. So these are stocks that can go down 70, 80% in a bad market. And I don't think investors understand or grasp the risk that they're taking right now. And the problem is, you know, we talk about this all the time, there's no sign that's going to tell you when the party's over. I wish there was. I'd be on my yacht if I could figure that out. But there really isn't. And that's why it's so dangerous to be invested that way right now.
Well, and the other thing is, no one ever wants to be accused of being greedy or jealous, right? Nobody ever wants to feel that way. But that's all it is. I mean, we're having a market right now, which is a phenomenal market. You know, the average stock is up 4 to 6%. That's, you know, guys, that's 8 to 10% annualized. The historical rate of return on the stock market is 8 to 10%. So you're getting a really fantastic return so far this year. It just pales in comparison when you look at something up 250%. So if you feel that way, you're not happy with your portfolio, I'm sorry, but you're being a little jealous right now, a little greedy. Take a look in the mirror.
Well, you know what, Dad? That's a great point about greedy or jealous. You know, every time I hear a client say, hey, I talked to a friend of mine already, I put my flak jacket on because I know what's coming next.
Yeah, but Chris, you know what? As an investor, right? I'm so happy that, you know, our large growth portfolio is up 27%. Makes me very happy. But, you know, as a financial advisor, a financial planner, I'm not going to put all your money in one portfolio that's benefiting from seven stocks that are going through the roof. I'm just never going to do it.
Well, and the problem is, too, it's like for most of us, if we've saved and we have a sizable portfolio, it's like if your portfolio goes up 40% in the next couple of months, it's probably not going to change your life. But the downside risk you have with that is your portfolio get cut in half. Is it worth that risk? Meanwhile, if you just stay diversified in a boring long-term portfolio, you're going to double your money over the next 10 years. And you're probably going to be more than set for life by just sticking to a strategy. So it's kind of like, it's not worth getting that extra return for the risk that you may take on the downside, because you can afford all the upside. But if you get a horrific market here at some point, that could derail your whole retirement and ruin your lifestyle long-term. And I think that's what most of us don't grasp right now, especially if we're overweighted in that hot portfolio.
And that's a great point about this whole tipping point session this week. You know, we're looking at a presentation that we did 9 months ago because the average investor couldn't handle a 10% decline. Why? Because it creates uncertainty. And when you have uncertainty is when you get emotional and you react. So a 10% decline drove most people crazy. Can you imagine what 40, 50% would do to you? Don't put yourself in that position.
All right, it's the hidden facts of finance, random financial facts that may surprise you or even shock you. All right, Bob, the Gen Z cohort, those born between 97 and 2012, was almost 60% more likely to have some financial instruction in school compared to millennials and 150% more likely than Gen Xers. More than half of young investors in America own some form of crypto, shocking, making it the most popular asset in the Gen Z portfolio. Indeed, an alarming 19% of Gen Z investors are only in crypto. I think they have a hard lesson in front of them they're going to have to learn.
I don't know, Ryan. My generation, we followed a guy named Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, and it worked out really well for us. That generation is following somebody called Roaring Kitty, and I'm not so certain it's going to turn out as well.
I'm going to call BS on that. Your generation got caught up in the dot-com bubble. Pets.com, I don't think, was the most viable business model, Bob. So I think every generation has to learn their lesson.
That's true, Ryan. There is no institutional memory. Everybody has to touch that electric fence once, as you always say.
Two or three times when it comes to the stock market.
Yeah, well, back in my day. No.
Back in my day, we didn't we invested in plastics.
Back in my day, we put trades in via paper.
Obviously, put them in tubes.
Right.
Chris, according to a new report by joint venture Silicon Valley, the Bay Area's 50 billionaires hold 17% of all liquid wealth in that area, while the bottom 50% of the population holds just 1%. Talk about disparity of wealth. That's insane.
Well, I would say to the bottom 1%, they need to start buying NVIDIA. Just kidding. But no, I mean, that's not just in San Francisco. That's a global problem. You know, still the top wealthiest 1% hold half the global's wealth.
Yeah. And you go into these cities nowadays, you wonder, but that blew my mind, that statistic. Bob, an investor who put $10,000 in the S&P 500 in 1961 and held only when Republicans were president, I know Bob was a Nixon man, would have 102,000 at the end of last year versus 500,000 for Democrats, which you might think is a big difference. Had you just stayed invested, no matter if it was Republican or Democrat in, that $10,000 would be worth $5.1 million today. Sounds to me like you probably shouldn't bet your investment strategy on who's elected.
No, you really shouldn't, Ryan. And the fact that there are up years and down years is really what creates wealth. And it's the compounding of your savings and your dividends into those dips where you accumulate more shares. Remember, wealth creation is about having the most amount of shares of an investment before it goes up. And if everything just goes straight up and you only invest in the up years, you never get a lot of shares which are available in down years. And you know me, I'm a buy low and hold forever guy.
All right, another great episode of Pain Points of Wealth. If you like our podcast, love our podcast, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple. If this is on Spotify, you can subscribe to our channel. If this is on YouTube, you can hit that subscribe button. You can click that notification bell to be updated with every week of all our new content like this episode. Your support gives us the support to continue to do this podcast. That's it for this week. Stay loose and keep an open mind.
Thanks for listening to the Pain Points of Wealth. Hopefully, you found the ideas discussed in this episode valuable and useful for your own financial journey. You can find out more about Bob, Ryan, and Chris's firm, Pain Capital Management, at bebullish.com or through the contact information found in the description of this episode in your podcast player or app. Join us next week for another episode of The Pain Points of Wealth, brought to you by Pain Capital Management. Information provided on today's show is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Investment is obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed.